Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We're back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Episode number 456 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, you can do so. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. Phone number. You can leave us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. I'm interested in, I've been hosting the TBLS after show Friday nights on the Stereo app, and I want to kind of, I'm wondering if I can pivot to doing that only for Red Circle subscribers via a different app. I might reach out to our Red Circle people, see if there's a way to do that. Something where people can leave messages and hear themselves, but only for the people that support us via monthly or yearly donation. Click the link in the show notes. Sign up. You get this show. You get all the bonus stories that we do every year. Kind of the best stories we put at the end. The most ribald content hangs out later in the show, and that goes behind a paywall for the people that support us. Click the link, sign up. It's $5 a month. I just did a weird thing. I just went like this. I said, click the link. What is wrong with me? Click the link in the show notes. Sign up there. $5 a year, or wait, $5 a month, or $50 a year. You get everything we do. You get to get my solo show, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast after show, and all the extra content we do from this show. So it's worth it. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. When you made the click sound or whatever that sound
was. What was that?
It reminded me of when I used to work with the Danes. And maybe it was just the Danes I worked with, but at one point I was in like a little group and it was six Danes and me.
Oh, no.
And they all would make sound effects. Like, I don't know if it's a Danish thing or just these guys thing, but it was like, and then we'll send it over there and boop. And then and they'll talk, but they would always like accompany things with sound effects. And you're like, why did you just do that? What? And we throw it shoot, and you'd be like, what's going on?
And this is a Danish thing.
I make a lot of assumptions on a entire country based on six people I worked with.
Yeah.
But they all did it. So it made me think this is cultural in some way.
Yeah. Did I tell you I had an interview with that company maybe like a month ago? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. For like a PR job. And I'm like, big company. And also I used to work for another shipping company. So I thought I had a shoe in. And then they asked me how much money I wanted to make. And I totally lowballed myself. And I told them.
It was probably still too high for them.
No. And they're like, oh, well, actually, and they're like, is that before bonus? And I was like, oh, shit. And then it was like, I don't know. I think I made myself seem like a little too small time. I probably wasn't qualified for the job, but I was trying to fake it till I made it. And I never heard back.
The money there was always pretty tight.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Like it was a pretty low paying gig.
Yeah. It's a big company.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And they got bigger while I was there. They bought the biggest American company.
Yeah.
Sealand. So they're the biggest in the world, I believe.
Well, they're fucking, they're too big for me. So fuck them.
You lowballed yourself.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Did you see
that was the Captain Phillips?
I know.
Oh yeah. That was my great disappointment of the weekend.
What?
I was
all set to
go see plane and I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it. Oh, no.
Oh no. I actually wrote a pretty good review. I think Rotten Tomatoes, it's in the 70s.
Well, cause everyone loves Jerry Butler, of course, but
we have a story about how everybody loves Jerry Butler. Of course.
And I've heard stories about how everyone loves him and he loves them back. That was a real roller coaster for me because you said, I'm so disappointed. Yes. And I was like, no, a plane can't be bad.
because that was the focal point of my weekend. I was like, okay, on Saturday, I'm going to go to this. And then my son was like, oh, I'll go with you. And, you know, the moments with your kids are fleeting. So yes. I of course, want to go with my son to that movie. And then he couldn't make it. Something came up socially for him.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? You should do the social thing and then we'll just go next weekend.
Oh yeah, that's
don't have to wait a whole other week to see Plane.
Worth it though. Worth it. That reminds me. I was driving with my daughter, who's been Ryan Beckner, who's been featured on this show, and she. I was driving with her, and I was going over to watch the wild card game at friend of the show Travis Rogers' house, and I was driving her home to her mom's, and I go, and I'm like, hey Ryan, I'm like, do you want to come with me? I mean, I knew she was going to say no. I'm like, do you want to come with me over to Trav's? And she's like, no. And I'm like, no, seriously, it'll be fun. I go, my buddy G Fish will be there and Darb in the OC and Gordy Moose Jaw. And we can hang out and watch the game. And Travis hasn't seen you in a long time. And she's like, sounds lit. And she's like, and by the way, none of those are real people. And I'm like, what?
Imaginary.
Yeah. So it's like, look, they don't want to do shit with you after a certain age. And so the fact that your son is willing to attend a movie with you, you got to eat that up.
Right. Yeah. I had to put it off.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm not going to be like, well, today you got to go with me and you got to blow off your friends. Like, I can't do that. Yes. So
I'm going to see if my son wants to see Plane this weekend. Cause he loves Jerry Butler.
Who doesn't?
Oh, he's great. He's fantastic. Anything else? Before we jump into it, we got a lot today, so it's we actually got to jump in. There's I'm sure you saw that one email. I'm excited about that. So let's jump in here. Wrong song. How about this?
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports?
We lost a few people in the sports world.
Oh, no.
Rest in peace.
The first one, I wasn't really sure of his existence.
Oh, I knew about him.
I knew Dad.
Yeah.
But Robbie Knievel, 60 years old.
Pretty young.
After a lengthy illness, it's.
Oh, I was going to say, what was the cause of death, and was it Chivas related?
Snake River Canyon.
Remember in the 90s?
Such a weird thing when we were little kids. It was mostly 70s, but like even early 80s, there was just a lot of talk of Evel Knievel.
And he would eat shit every time, right? Like he jumped the fountain.
That was his thing.
Yeah, I believe Robbie Knievel also jumped the fountain at Caesar's Palace. He would do like lesser.
That's kind Evel of a Knievel sad shit. Family business that like you got to do that.
Yeah.
Like the Walendas, right? They all have to be tightrope walkers. Yeah. They just have to.
Didn't they all fall once though?
I think one of them died somewhat recently from a big fall. And do you really need to be in that family business?
No, I really don't. Yeah. Like it's like just spread out. Like I get it. If your dad owns a dry cleaner or something, you know, and it's like pretty good business and, you know, maybe you want, but if it's tightrope walking
or jumping a fountain.
Yeah. Hold on. How many of the Walendas have died? Hold on. All five were seriously injured. Hold on. Now I got to click the actual wiki.
Wasn't wind a factor? If wind is a factor in your life, it's not a good, not a stable job.
I remember that, it won an Academy Award, that documentary Man on Wire.
Yeah.
Where
I like that documentary. I didn't like the Joseph Gordon-Levitt adaptation.
He's not even French.
I saw that on a plane.
No.
And I got like, and you know, on a plane, not to be confused with Plane, the Jerry Butler movie, but on a plane, you will be satisfied with like two letter grades lower.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're going to treat a C movie like an A.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And I got like 20 minutes in and I was like, ouch. I've already seen the documentary and that was good. And this is not good.
I knew I was a loser when I saw that, when I saw the Man on Wire. And in Man on Wire, he's at the dentist and he sees a picture of the unbuilt World Trade Center. They go, they're going to build this building. Yeah. And he looks at the picture before it's even built. And he goes, I'm going to walk on a wire across from those two buildings. And I'm like, what the fuck? They're not even made.
What? He's already planning on ways of defying death, defeating death.
Yes.
And the thing isn't even there.
Notable family members. Oh, it's only one bought it. Carl, the patriarch, founder and leader of the group until he fell to his death in 1978. He was 73.
So did somebody fall recently? I feel like we've done a Walenda story at some point.
Yeah, hold on, trapeze. There was a fall, but they all lived. Hold on. Times Square.
I remember it was like Fox or something did a Walenda special not too long ago.
Yep.
And it's like that shit existed before cable television. People, there's plenty of way. There's the internet. Like you don't. We don't need Knievels and Walendas anymore.
I agree. I totally agree. In February 2017, a rehearsal of the troops 8-person pyramid high wire act for, get ready for one of the saddest 2-word phrases in the history of the English language, Circus Sarasota.
Oh, no.
Turned awry. This is an attempt at a Guinness World Record. Turned awry when the pyramid collapsed, plummeting 5 of the performers to the ground, while 3 others, including Nick Walenda, managed to cling to the wire. Miraculously, no one was killed, but all 5 who fell were severely injured. Nick's sister, Lijana Walenda, suffered the worst injuries, breaking nearly every bone in her face.
Oh my God.
How many face bones do you have? Isn't it just one bone?
And you don't just go back to looking fine after that. Gee, her grill is probably off. Yeah. When was this?
In 2017.
Yeah, we've done the story.
Yeah, I remember this. Now, this is kind of bullshit. It was an attempt at a new Guinness World Record for height. Well, hold on a second. They make up new Guinness World Records all the time. Like any pyramid, human pyramid on a trapeze is going to be the highest of all, or on a high wire is going to be the highest ever because no one's ever done it before.
Right. There are a lot of bullshit ones. I saw one a few months ago and it was like the man who juggled the most lemons.
Yeah. See, like, stupid.
Like, well, if we're talking about fattest motorcycle twins, that's a real record.
That's right. Fattest motorcycle twins.
The fingernails creep.
Right. Of course, Walter Hudson. Yeah. Wadlow, Hudson. Like the real G's that just were freaks. I want freaks.
That you would go to your school library and open right to those pages.
Best pages. Well, it's no. Only Knievel. One dead when Walenda. R.I.P. Robbie Knievel, death by Shivas.
Robbie. R.I.P. Gino Ogic, he was a former Islander, Canuck, and Canadian, 52 years old. They said fan favorite. I'd never heard of him.
I got to assume he was a goon based on being
fan favorite.
Well, and also being named Gino. Like there aren't too many road. Ladies and gentlemen, your valedictorian Gino, you know, like that's Gino's a working class guy's name. You know, he's a mucker and a grinder. He's not a 50 goal scorer. I'll tell you that's that much. True. Yeah.
He definitely doesn't have speed to his game.
No, definitely.
But he has a big old fist. RIP Devin Willock, UGA lineman, 20 years old, and Chandler LaCroix, UGA recruiting staffer, 24.
Very sad.
He died in a car crash this week. Very sad.
Yep.
And I just see on the ticker just now on ESPN, it says high speeds were the cause.
Oh, yeah, that's so sad.
RIP Charles White, USC Heisman winner, 64 years old. I believe he had a troubled pro career because of Yale, right?
Yeah, he smoked crack. He was also a contestant, I believe, after his career. And I don't even know how this is fair. He was a contestant on American Gladiators.
Oh, he must have killed it.
I'm pretty sure. And he fucked people up on that show because he won the Heisman Trophy. And these guys were just bodybuilders. Like, yeah.
Zap and,
yeah.
And all those guys.
Yeah, Malibu.
There was a reference to American Gladiators today or this morning. I was watching, I think my kids were watching South Park, and I think they referred to American Gladiators. And I was thinking, like, that was such a big deal for like 2 years.
Yeah, it really, no, like it was one of those things.
I had no idea what it was.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to watch that shit.
Oh, yeah, it was like Saturday, like post cartoons. That was the thing.
Yeah, no, it was a badass show. Larry Zonka was there. Hold on.
And you always, was Jimmy Cefalo also?
No, it was, Eisman? Mike Adamly.
Adamly.
Right. Yeah. And because he was an ex-NFL guy too, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I found a clip of Charles White on American Gladiators, but it's not when he's blowing people up. It's when they're trying to shoot him with the tennis balls, which was fucking great. Like, how much did you want to shoot that tennis ball gun?
Yeah, the obstacle course at the end. That's what you wanted. Yeah. And they were wasn't that part of it? You had to get like, it was like capture the flag while they're shooting tennis balls.
Yeah, they're shooting. And you're shooting, you get like, look, he's shooting right now. He's shooting hold on, we'll give it a little sound. He's shooting a crossbow back at her. And it's a lady gladiator. Then he shoots above her head. There's a little target. And so you run each station. She's trying to shoot you with tennis balls, and you go station to station. And at each station, there's a different weapon until you get to the last station. That's where you just throw a tennis ball. Let's see. He's gotten to the first two stations. He hasn't hit it yet. Okay. There's Mike Adamly.
They gave him one message. Daddy, you better do well.
Well, he is doing.
Ooh, he missed.
Now he's right under the gun.
He's got 3 points.
I mean, he's pretty fast. Cliff Branch. Oh, this is all NFL guys.
Cliff Branch.
Yeah.
No matter what happens from here on in, Charles White will move on.
Yeah, he's moving on.
Left of the clock.
Oh, hit his gun. Oh, he missed. Oh, he's doing an army crawl. Guys, fit. Get that booty down.
Get that booty down.
I didn't know they said booty in the 80s or early 90s.
Charles White picks up 6 points.
Yeah, Charles White. He had a couple nice years with the Rams after ED bounced, too. Yeah. Yep.
Vegas Golden Knights goalie Robin Lehner files for bankruptcy related to his purchase of an exotic snake farm. He's a snake guy.
I mean, we could do a whole show on this. We got a new snake hoarder in the house.
Snake hoarder.
He
it's like $1.2 million worth of snakes.
And then apparently they started breeding out of control, which I guess somehow reduced their value because suddenly there's more of those.
They're not so rare.
Yeah, he flooded the marketplace with his own snakes because he couldn't stop them from fucking. But I don't understand how a guy that makes $5 million a year can go bankrupt on snakes.
He's going to blow more than a quarter of his income on snakes.
Yeah. This is a wild sentence, but it gets even he purchased the snakes from world-renowned breeder. This is the best part. Who was murdered just a few months after the sale. So this is what's interesting. He buys the snakes from the Tiger King of snakes, Snake King.
Much like the drug game, I feel like most people exit the snake business in a coffin.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, it's not on the up and up. Everybody's working an angle. And so I kind of get it. The guy died. His wife killed him. And this guy, the Vegas Knights goaltender, and I got to be honest, I'm a Kings fan. I really love the Vegas Knights colors. It's like a muted gray and kind of like a mustard gold. I think they have good looking uniforms and a cool name, the Knights.
I went to a game in the spring when I was in Vegas.
Oh, really?
And it was pretty cool. Yeah. Like it was a short walk from the Mandalay where I was staying.
It's right there. Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
And it was like a good atmosphere because they're still new and they're selling out all the time. So it was like, there's a good vibe in there.
It's kind of cool. They're going to build the A's, a ballpark on the strip where the, where the I think where the Las Vegas Hilton used to be, or where the Tropicana is, one of those.
Oh, one of, that's going to be sad for all the empty seats in Oakland.
I know. Well, I want to go. Well, hold on. There are those two people fucking that we talked about in the upper left field corner. So there,
that's always not is.
And there's always possums and raccoons and shit that run on the field there.
A lot of feral animals.
I'm going to go.
I'm sure there are some feral cats in there too.
I'm flying up and I'm going to a game at Oakland Coliseum next year before they, I assume they're going to play one more year there. I actually could be wrong about that. Yeah. So this guy, he assumed, look, you buy a snake farm from somebody. And then his wife murders him. Well, that's a get out of jail free card. Like, you don't owe anybody anymore. But apparently some other dude moved in and assumed the business and wants his money from this guy.
Yeah, I guess he thought, is there ever going to be a better investment than distressed snake business?
Oh, here's a big turn.
Oh, no.
This guy's a Swede.
I mean, that doesn't seem like snake culture.
No, not at all. Canadian, like some Canadian farm boy. I could see American, obviously a Swede snake enthusiast. That's crazy. He claimed that the snakes began breeding amongst one another in an unsupervised, uncontrolled manner. Yeah, you got to be on top of that. He said that he was out millions caring for the snakes and that their breeding caused them to lose value. The year after the sale,
so much snake fucking.
Rennick was murdered by his wife and her ex-boyfriend. The case even appeared on an episode of Dateline. Oh, the wife only got 16 years. Wow. Oh, he's been out this year. He's got hip surgery. Oh, this is a sad story. Not as sad as the Jack Johnson's dad, defenseman Jack Johnson's dad.
Ripping him off.
Yeah, right? Bankrupting him. But well, hopefully this works out for everybody, including the snakes.
No, I hope all the snakes die. Yeah. Snakes are awful.
What? No, beautiful animals.
Awful. The worst animal.
Think of all the rats.
I would be happier with rats than snakes.
That's what they need in New York City, is because they got that rat problem. They just gotta unleash. They gotta take all those pythons that they're getting out of the Glades. They're murdering in the Glades because they're invasive down there. They get the pythons from the Glades and they bring them up to Manhattan and take care of the rat problem up there. It's a win-win.
Did I tell you a weird sort of snake? Like my son in like his like biology class or like science class, they were learning about the Hudson River, and there are eels in the Hudson River.
Oh yeah.
All the eels come from Florida and then swim up.
Shut up. Really?
Isn't that weird?
Do they migrate?
Yes.
Shut
they migrate
up.
From Florida.
Why?
They're like, every one of them is born in Florida.
Stop.
Then they come up. Then I think they lay their eggs back down in Florida. It's this weird thing, but that's some crazy distance.
That is weird.
They're kind of like snakes.
And they come from another planet. Like we're worried about shit. We're worried about shit like in other solar systems. We should be worried about what's under the water, because there's weird shit in the ocean.
Yeah. Very gross. Quan Proctor has announced he is entering the transfer portal from Savannah State University. He had a tweet showing him in full uniform.
Yeah.
There's one problem.
Yeah.
He has never attended Savannah State or any school.
Well, they've gotten really good at doing these, the Photoshops. Remember back in the day, somebody get traded and they'd like awkwardly put the hat on him, but he'd go from like the Reds to the Mets and he'd still have a red undershirt on.
How about the baseball cards when they were traded?
Yeah.
And it would look like, and I remember sometimes having baseball cards where they couldn't even bother to do a shitty art job.
Yeah.
They would just put a bar that said traded on.
Yeah. It. Yeah. Traded. Exactly. Now, as soon as somebody gets traded, there's a picture of him in the new uniform, and it looks fucking spot on every time. It kind of bothers me.
I like that. This guy's keeping his options open.
I like that, too.
I'm in the transfer portal, and they're like, who's this guy?
Also, what's a Savannah State? I've never heard of this. Is this in Georgia?
I assume Savannah.
Is this a historically black college or university? Must be.
Definitely a small school.
Yeah,
definitely not big time. But I've heard of it. Maybe in terms of like NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
16 seed kind of.
Yes,
that kind of school.
About right.
a bettor lost $1.4 million after playing the money line with the Chargers up 27-0. It would have paid him 11 grand. So he took the $1.4 million risk on 11.
This is, do you think that Robbie Knievel willed him whatever was left of his shivis, and that this guy was just all shivised out that night? And which was, because there's no sober person makes that bet. That's a drunk man's bet.
I play very small time. I'm not like Dolomite. Yeah. I just play $5 here and there.
Yeah.
And I had the Chargers for $5 minus 2.5 and felt pretty good about it. Yeah. But this guy, for 11 grand, that's insane.
If you only stand to make 1% of what your wager is, that's insane.
Yeah.
That is not a bet.
No, there was a time that it was the Usain Bolt 4x100, and I was like, they're definitely going to win the gold medal, but it was like 1 to 10.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
You think if they drop the baton, you're fucked. Yeah. They're definitely the fastest team.
Yeah,
but something can go wrong with the baton, so it just you don't make that bet.
Yeah, I remember hearing about people when Roger Federer was winning every major. They would lay like $100,000 to win $2,000 on Roger Federer at the Spanish Open, and it's just like, what if he fucking gets hurt?
Yeah, he could break his ankle or something.
Yes, it's crazy. No, that's the thrill of it, right? That's like it's like cuckolding. You know, you're really like risking a lot. Like that's the thrill of it.
You want to be punished.
Yes, like the win is not that good, but the risk, it's all about the risk. It's exciting. I don't get it.
Yeah, those are people that need to be almost passed out from being choked to death so they can ejaculate.
Yes. R.I.P. Michael Hutchins.
Michael Hutchins.
Yeah. And David Carradine.
And Kung Fu, Walk the Earth. Yeah. When asked if he would take a look at kickers this week after the Cowboys, Brett Maher missed 4 extra points, Jerry Jones said, no, he's done enough good ones.
I was just having a conversation with someone the other day about how kickers are just all kind of good now. Like everyone's got a good kicker.
Great compared to our childhood.
Yes.
Like we talk about Morton Anderson or this or that. Like they were the big deal.
Yeah.
And they were making like, well, I don't know, 50% on their best year from 50 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Now everyone can do that.
Yeah. Anything over 40 yards was pretty risky back then. Now it's got to be like 55 for you to be super worried about whether or not they're going to make one. But these are extra points.
He missed four in a row.
How do you not start going for two? Luckily, they were kicking the shit out of Tampa.
Yeah, that was one of those ones. I chose to look at the glass half full. Yeah. It was either going to be the Cowboys lose or Tom Brady losing.
Great result either way. Fantastic result.
And all the talk of like, well, what's the GOAT going to do next? Which team is he going to go to?
Who gives a fuck?
The dude is like 45, 46 years old.
Yeah.
What team really wants that?
You got better options. Like,
what team? Because there's only like the 49ers the last few years have been the only team besides the Buccaneers when Brady took them that had everything but a quarterback.
Yep.
Now you're going to build around a guy who's getting worse and how many years could he possibly give you? Two?
Yeah. And there's better options available. Like it's not like he's not that good anymore. You know, I mean, he still makes a good decision, but he threw some bad balls.
Horrible pick in the end zone.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Horrible.
I know.
So I'm going to enjoy his Franco Harris on the Niners, whatever it is. I'm going to enjoy that. These next couple of years are going to be great.
Yes.
He's going
to suck. Joe Namath on the Rams.
Yeah. Identical minor league baseball pitchers with the same name, Brady Feigl.
Yes.
Took a DNA test to see if they're related. They're both named Brady Feigl.
This is weirder than me and the babysitter that's downstairs as dad, both being called Brian Beckner, because I don't think we look alike.
and have the same profession.
Right. And we're not like, both based
if he chiropractor. Also, it, or if he also had a podcast called The Baller Lifestyle.
That would be weird.
What?
That would be weird. Yes.
These guys do look very similar.
Yeah, they're both bearded gingers. They both look like they're kind of leprechaun.
The same glasses, yes, too.
Yeah, it is weird.
Now, it's fucking creepy. And they took a DNA test and there was no relation. Yeah, but
two minor league baseball players with the exact same name and eerily similar looks took a DNA test. They're both Brady. Now, they're 5 years apart. Look, dude, 32 and in the minor leagues. Might want to go knock down a few Home Depot applications, buddy. It's not happening.
I saw the Real Sports where it talks about those guys.
Yeah.
And they're all broke.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to keep yourself in shape.
Yep.
In case you get that call up.
Yep.
And these guys have seen the Dennis Quaid movie, so yeah, they think there's a chance.
Yeah, but there isn't.
It's not. It's not. And it's not going to be Crash Davis either. No. It's just going to be all sad at the end.
You know what I'm realizing about these guys is if they shave their beards, other than them both being redheaded.
Yeah.
They don't really look that much alike. They just both have like the Oakley Blade style glasses.
Right. The same general look with the ginge beard thing.
It's not. Now, what's really weird is those.
It's the same exact name. It's not even Brady, I guess, is kind of common of a certain age.
Yeah.
Feigl?
No, I agree with you. How many ball players are there called Feigl?
Right.
Zero.
No.
It's still not as weird as those opposite twins. One's Taylor and Tyler. Something and yep. One's on the Padres and one's on the Giants and one's a right-hander and one's a left-hander.
Yeah, they're all nightmare fuel.
They should not be allowed in the same division. No. They should not be allowed in the same league. They should immediately look. I've made my thoughts known on interleague play. I hate it. It was a gimmick.
All over it. Game used to be exciting.
It used to be exciting. Now it's not. They gotta separate these guys. They gotta make them play in different leagues. Just same rules as for regular identical twins. 500 miles apart at all times. Never in the same state. Yes,
one of these guys has to shave.
Yes, call each other or send a text. Hey, what are you wearing today? So that you don't end up wearing the same shirt. Okay, because it freaks us the fuck out. The rest of us are super weirded out by it. So just have some respect for everyone else.
Heartwarming news. Aaron Judge will receive the key to New York City thanks to his historic home run season.
Is Jay Stu?
Jay Stu must be so happy.
He's got to be so excited. The key to the city.
The key to the city. To New York City. It's not like his hometown of
Fresno. Fresno.
Yeah. This is New York City.
Yeah.
This is the biggest city in America, and he's getting the key to the city.
Yeah. No, that is bullshit. Like, I mean, he had one kind of nice year, but it's not like they won the World Series or anything.
He had an excellent year.
Yeah, great year. He's the MVP.
But it's not a historic year.
No.
It's an excellent year.
They better not have Roger Maris's son on hand.
Oh, he's already, it's like he already called his last time out.
Yeah.
Roger Maris Jr. declared... Yeah. McGuire as the worthy guy to take the throne from his dad. And then he's like, no, Aaron Judge is, you can't do it.
What is a more useless, non-award? The key to a city could be any city or Jim Nance's tie.
Oh yeah. At least the key to the city, you can be like, look, New York, the city honored me.
Yes.
Jim Nance, you're like, the fuck do I want this 65-year-old tie?
Imagine in your trophy room, you got, you know, because if you've ascended to this level, you've got some accolades and you got your stuff set up and it's all nice.
That Villanova guy who hit the winning shot to win the national title.
He's got the ball.
He's got the ball, the game ball, the national
little piece of the net. Yeah.
The most outstanding player award and all that. And then what's that tie doing there?
Yeah. I really wish Jim Nance.
Chris Jenkins.
Somebody should make a super cut of everybody that's.
Of the awkward smiles.
You know, everybody that's ever won Jim Nance's tie. and having someone over to their house and going, hey, what's that thing in, right there in the frame? And they go, oh, that's Jim Nance's tie. And then to a man, every single one of them goes, who?
Or even better, yes. If we had Jim Nance do a road trip to everybody who that he's given the tie to and be like, yes. Hey, where's that tie I gave you? And they're like, yes. Oh, it's at the dry cleaner.
I would love that. No, but
it's, yes. It's kind of like the time that David Lee Roth popped in on a room in Vegas. He's like, hey, guys, yeah. It's me, Diamond Dave. And they're like, and they were listening to Van Halen. They're like, who's that? Who's Diamond
bibbidi,
Dave?
Bibbidi bop. What's up? Yeah, it's like you're handing a burden because you're like, oh, fuck. What? Like, I'm supposed to keep this? Like, what do I do with this thing? I don't want it.
Coach wears a lot of these. I'll just give it to Coach.
Yeah, I'll just give it to Coach. It reminds me of when Howard Stern, when Gary would give him a gift. And Howard would get
taken into the shredder. Then yes. they just brought like a full on shredder into the office and just destroyed things.
Yes. What am I going to do with this?
A wood chipper. No, it was a wood chipper.
Yeah. He would get annoyed when people would give him gifts, and yet they would continue to give him gifts. It's great.
They destroy it on the spot.
I love that shit. That's so
funny. Shakira takes a shot at her ex-husband, soccer player Gerard Piqué.
Yeah.
You traded a Ferrari for a Renault is in her lyrics.
Now, I mean,
she's a Ferrari.
She's kind of right. I mean, I get that, like, he traded down, but
he's tired of it.
Yeah, he got younger. No, I'm just looking right now. I think Shakira's like our age. She's like 45, 46. She's fucking 20 times better looking than the young one that Gerard Piqué pulled into. Like, she's dunking on him in more ways than one because she knows she's way hotter, and she is. Like, it's
yeah.
There's not even a question.
Yeah, it's really not a question.
God damn, she keeps it tight. Good for her.
She is a Ferrari.
Yes.
Finally, the Blaze editor who tweeted, shoot guns and watch college football as her goal for 2023, shot herself in the foot while watching the college football national championship.
I cannot tell you how many times I've been hanging out with the guys. We're watching the game. We're drinking beer. We're having chicken wings. And I'm like, you know what this fucking party needs? Firearms. Like, where's the guys? Where's the guns? Shouldn't we be handling weapons right now? Like, how do we not have guns here?
I've seen the Scott Scanlon episode.
Yes.
I know. You don't mess with guns like that.
You don't. You don't. Guns and alcohol.
Healthy fear. Yes, exactly. Healthy fear of those guns.
Respect the weaponry and don't shoot yourself in the foot. Now, this looked like one of those straight through the foot shots, but it would have been funny if, like, she lost a big toe or something.
Like, it would be.
Yeah. Like really.
What if she lost
herself?
A big toe? Yeah, the big toe. Yeah. She'd be limping around forever.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. And worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His faults are useless, shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's Manuel.
Hey, man, Amy. Haven't heard from old Manuel. Let's see if he's called this week. He hasn't.
The night shift.
He's night shift. That affects his podcast calling, obviously. Also, and I would shout out to him, but since he's never listened to the show, he wouldn't hear it. He only calls. No. Yeah, he's exclusively a caller. Oh, wait, I think I turned off the sound when I was playing that American Gladiators.
Hold on.
My bad.
Discussion about
people like when I fuck these up every time.
Hey, Ballers, Ben Evo 6 here. Just wanted to call in. There was some discussion about paddles, paddling people in high school.
Yeah, so just to catch people up. Last week we were talking about Dazed and Confused, the movie.
Great movie.
Richard Linklater. It's a great movie. And there's this, it's, you know, it's high school in Texas, Austin, Texas. And there's this whole
the soul pole.
Yeah, there's a whole culture of the rising seniors in high school.
Worry about eighth graders.
Yeah. Paddling the eighth graders with wooden paddles that they make in wood shop. The rising freshmen get a beating, an ass spank. They get a spanking. They go around and give spankings.
Especially for Tim Lincecum.
Yes, Tim Lincecum. Gets
it the worst of all because his hot older
Wyatt
sister.
Was his name. I think his name was Wyatt.
Wiley Wiggins or something?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's an actor. Yeah. Fuck, I can't remember his name. I just watched it last week. So Ben is commenting on that. Ben, we know, is from the Upper Peninsula of the state of Michigan. So maybe he's got some info from how they do it up there.
This concept that it didn't happen. And I know probably my experience in high school from the UP was a little bit unique, more so than others. I mean, my graduating class was like 73 people.
So
the school was much, much smaller. So inherently, you all kind of knew people around your grade because there were so few people. You just kind of knew everybody, and everybody knew everybody's business. But we had a shop teacher who would kind of give the upperclassmen a list of kids. Because the shop teacher had kids, had every grade in seven, every person in 7 to 8 grade, he would actually have in class at some point. So he would kind of comb through the list of kids and help the upperclassmen, junior seniors, create these paddles.
Shut up.
And kind of target the 7 to 8 graders.
What the fuck?
And I'm sure that's not appropriate today. I don't think that would be happening, but outside of targeting the younger male students with
grooming,
he also was targeting the younger females for grooming them to be part of his quote-unquote race crew, as he was a dirt track racer around the UP. So, also was a football coach, kind of painted the picture, but
Football guy. I mean, so apparently there was shop teachers with hit lists.
Wow.
That helped in the paddle manufacture.
Just but that guy definitely sounds like the old football coach wore the bike shorts.
Oh, yeah.
B-I-K-E.
Yeah. When I was watching that the other night, all the coaches had their bike shorts on. What? How come you needed special shorts to coach in? Couldn't you just wear regular shorts?
They were like really shitty gray polyester shorts.
Yeah, they were like baseball pant material, but shorts. Like
tight
and short.
Yeah.
What?
Like, really gross.
I need to get, hey, honey, I gotta go, season starting up. I gotta go get some coaching clothes. It's so weird. My coach's uniform? Very strange. Okay. Wait, a couple of
years. What was I gonna say? My shop teacher was not like that.
Yeah.
But his name was Mr. Beaver. That was kind of funny.
That is good. A couple quick emails. Bri Bex and quote Ed. In the history of the English language, I'm sure this sentence has never been constructed before. Who is the loudest comer in It's a Wonderful Life? Outro. That is from Toe Cutter. I got it. So, as we know, I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, and I don't. So, I'm gonna just take a stab at it, and I'm gonna say it's the guy that owned the bank, or that guy that was trying to evict everybody, Mr. Crowley,
old man Potter,
old man Potter. Yeah, he's the loudcomer.
So no, because he's not a high volume guy. At one point, he's like, Happy New Year to you in jail. But he's not.
You're saying he's not a high volume comer because of his age? Because that's, you know, sometimes guys can still ejaculate quite a bit in their later in life, Ed.
I don't know. He was in a wheelchair. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah. Well, hey.
I think he was, he had some downstairs problems anyway. I just don't see it. there are two candidates here. Okay. Now, the first one could be George Bailey himself, Jimmy Stewart.
Sure.
Because he's like, Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Yeah, and he's he gets Merry Christmas, it. Bank! Merry Christmas,
Merry
tree!
Merry Christmas, you lovable building and loan!
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it was that shithead Uncle Billy who lost the money.
Yeah.
He lost the money, the $8,000, because there's a scene where he's shit-faced early in the movie.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, and he's like, he's singing and like really just kind of a mess, but he's loud.
Yeah.
He's loud.
And he probably, that's how he lost the money. He probably had a lot of ejaculate all over his hands and fingers. And it was like, just like all slipped away from him.
That envelope with $8,000 in 1946 just slipped right out.
Real money. Okay. Here's another one. Brian and quote, Ed, Happy New Year to my favorite pod. Here's to continued success in 2023 and beyond. Couple of things. One, do you think Max Verstappen can make it three in a row? Will he be a three-time world champion? Or do you think being 5'6", 106 pounds will catch up with him? He's pretty fast. I don't know if anybody's going to challenge him. Two.
Wait, so he's the three-time champion now? Well,
he's two-time. Lewis Hamilton's done because they made a rule that everyone, there's like a salary cap, but it's like it's how much you can spend on the car. And Mercedes was outspending everybody. Now you can only spend everyone has to spend the same. And that Red Bull's caught up. And now Verstappen's won two championships in a row. Two, if you had to rank people/things that need it, how would you rank the following? A goat. A Frenchman, an Italian, an F1 driver, NBA players, non-all-stars, men who are 5'3 and below, Prince, Earl Woods, and Japanese businessmen. Enjoy the races, Pete and Pocatello. Well, Ed, Prince and Earl Woods are both. I mean, Earl Woods really needed it because he would bring that Winnebago to practice.
If this van's a rocking, keep working on your driver.
He'd be like, "Hey, Tiger, hit 107 irons," and then he would go have cocktails in his Winnebago to do sex. Prince, my girlfriend loves Prince, and I've watched plenty of live Prince videos, and he liked to fuck the stage a lot when he was dancing. But he's gone too, so I don't think they don't need it anymore because they're gone. Japanese,
but they got it.
Yeah, they got it quite a bit. Japanese businessmen, they're a lot of them are passed out on the curb.
Yeah, they're just so they don't necessarily need it. Their mission is to just get ossified.
Yes,
and then sleep in drawers.
Yes, exactly. Now, men who are 5'3". And below,
I didn't know that was a thing, really.
I don't think it is, but I wouldn't say that men who are 5'3 and below need it more than regular people.
I'm sure Danny DeVito needs it somewhat, but
yeah,
I just wouldn't think the 5'3 and below is, no. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, like Danny DeVito doesn't need it more than George Clooney.
No,
they need it an equal amount, which is quite a bit, probably. I would say George Clooney probably needs it more than Danny DeVito, if I had to guess.
My counter to that would be George Clooney has had so much of it.
Yeah.
That he probably needs it less.
Yeah. He's like, I'm done with it. I've sexed. There's no one left to sex. He's like, LSU Lala.
I'm a fan of Amal.
Oh yeah. No, she's attractive.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay, so that leaves us. So we've crossed all them off. That leaves us with non-all-star NBA players. Again, I don't know why their all-star status matters, but or F1 drivers, an Italian, a Frenchman, and a goat. A Frenchman needs it. I don't know if anybody needs it more than a Frenchman, right?
I think the Frenchmen need it the most. I don't know anything about F1 drivers. NBA players, we've done so many stories.
They need it.
So many stories of NBA players.
Yeah. But, what's his name? Blake Griffin impregnated that porno, Lana Rhodes, not that long ago.
despite being so big that it was too big for the
for Alana.
Yes. Alana.
Yeah, I'll say so. Pete, thank you for the email. I'm going to go with a Frenchman. A Frenchman needs it more than a goat, an Italian, an F1 driver, and non-All-Star NBA players. Yeah, I don't think a goat needs it that much. I think a goat just gets it, he just wants to like eat your pant leg.
Or a tin can, or
and jump on stuff. I'll tell you what. Where I live here, Ed, as a fire here in Laguna Beach, as a fire abatement strategy, they have a herd of goats.
What?
Yeah, and the goat herder will like brings them around to different areas at different times. There'll be a lot this year because it's rained so much there's a lot of fuel growing. But I tell you what, like if you're out on a hike and you see those goats, it's just a nice feeling.
This makes it sound like you live in like Afghanistan. I know
it's not that.
Yeah, so to keep the fires down, we get a goat herder to come in. Yeah. Like, what?
I know. It's so cool though.
Like, California?
I know. You walk by. He's like contracted to bring his goats out to different.
That's a totally normal thing.
He brings them in a truck.
My God.
And then he'll leave them in like an area for a day or a couple days until they eat all that down. And then he herds them back into the truck or a trailer. And then he takes them to a different place and they eat the grass there. And it's just a delightful feeling when you see, hey, there's the goats. It's nice. It's nice to see the goats. Here's another one. Ballers. You often make sure to highlight the height of certain male celebrities. Oh, we got another one. Oh, this is really good. I saw this. So I thought it would be a good debate topic and time killer to pick the best short man amongst this March Madness style bracket. The cutoff to make the bracket was 5'8 or shorter. Well, that makes sense because 5'8, if you're 5'8, you're officially not short. Your average height, 5'8 is the average. So of course these guys would need to be shorter than 5'8. Or shorter, and they're seeded based on net worth. As the hosts of this prestigious podcast, you get to pick the winners of each matchup, however you subjectively want, such as cool factor, contributions to society, greatness is in field, in his field, number of bodies slayed, handsomeness, etc. Well, thank you for that. Spud Webb, Patton Oswalt, Apollo Ono, Rob Schneider, Wayne Knight, and Richard Dreyfuss were bubble contestants, but missed the cut. That is from Jeff in Minnesota. P.S. Shout out to the Minnesota Ballers and fuck Wisconsin, except Cheesecake. Jeff, you get a producer credit. Okay, I tried to put this thing.
This is great.
I couldn't make it big enough, but.
So I can zoom in. Okay. So we're just picking who, like. However we want, yeah. Who we want, yeah, who's we have our cooler. Own,
we are, so the first matchup.
I do like Patton Oswalt. I'm sorry.
Well, he's a bubble. He's a bubble team. So the first matchup, Lionel Messi, 5'6". I think they're juicing that a little bit. You got to understand, everybody's juicing it by 2 inches here. Just factor that in. Versus, I can't believe this guy made the tournament.
Over Patton Oswalt?
And Richard Dreyfuss.
Whoa.
I just destroyed my microphone. I just knocked my mic out of the stand. Hold on. Whoa. Adjusting. And we're back. Okay, so the first match. Look, it's not our bracket, Ed. We're just going to play it off.
We'll play it off.
We're not the selection committee. So number one, Lionel Messi, 5'6", versus Jonathan Taylor Thomas, 5'4".
He was given the starring role in one movie, and it was some Christmas movie, and it was really bad. He was like, it was all about like his travel to come home for Christmas, and it was really bad.
So no, he's the guy with the bull. He was Tim Allen's son, right?
Yeah, he was like the Tiger Beat, like the hot. He was the Ricky Schroeder of the 1990s,
and he kind of had a bowl cut. Now he's not the one that got super jacked. That was his older brother that got on steroids, right?
That's the guy that stole Armie Hammer's divorce Instagram post.
Oh, that's right. Okay. All right. So I got to assume Lionel Messi, he just won. Yes. He just won the World Cup. He's
possibly the greatest soccer player of all time.
Right. So. Okay. Messi moves on. In the 8-9 of that bracket, these brackets aren't named, is David Spade. 5'6", versus Jonah Hill, also 5'6". I mean, tough matchup, but Spade, via body of work, he moves on there, right?
Yes, I like a lot of what Jonah Hill has done, but it's not even close versus Spade. And also, Jonah Hill, the dude lately, I understand he's trying to be, you know, change certain things in Hollywood and stuff.
He's like, don't talk about me. It hurts my feelings.
He's a bit much.
It's a lot.
It's just, I'm not trying to go all toxic masculinity. But
I am.
You know, I still kind of like certain aspects of, you know, the norms.
Yeah. Don't be so sensitive. Like, you're famous. You're famous. You're a little chubby. Look, I'm chubby and I'm not famous and people talk shit about me. So like, you just got to deal with it, dude. It's okay. They're not talking about other people that are fat. So it's okay.
He's talented, but he's also kind of a pussy.
He's very good in Wolf of Wall Street, but I agree with you. Okay.
He's very good in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Superbad. He's great.
Awesome. 5'12". This is the seeding here.
The seeding. Madness.
Number five, Al Pacino, 5'6", versus Seth Green, 5'4". That's not going to be our 12-5 upset, is it, Ed? That's
no,
Al
it is
Pacino.
Not.
Al Pacino.
We're going chalk there.
Al Pacino moves on there, of course. The 4'13". Woody Allen, 5'4". Versus Frankie Muniz, also 5'4". Do you see Frankie Muniz is he's driving a NASCAR now?
Oh my god!
Not the Craftsman or whatever the B series.
Seriously, he's doing that?
Yeah, he's got a ride, which is weird because he's kind of too old. I think he's in his like mid-30s.
I aggressively don't give a shit about Frankie Muniz, I am on record being a massive Woody Allen fan. Yes. And after reading his book, I believe his take of things.
All right. Well, Woody Allen moves on. Next to the 6'11". Well, I got to do something right now, Ed, because this guy comes up. We got to discuss.
Is this guy?
Oh.
I can't figure it out. I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Ed, Johnny Galecki. He's 5'4". He appears to need it.
He does?
Yeah, he was.
He's Christmas Rusty Griswold.
Yeah, yes, sure. Then he was on Roseanne.
Oh, that's right. He was on Roseanne, too.
Yeah, then.
And I know Big Bang is his big thing.
He was on. Yeah, Big Bang he was on for a lot of years.
It was one of those shows, much like Avatar.
Never saw it.
I never heard anyone even talk about that show, but it was the number one show on TV. And for like many years.
Yeah, many. How fucking rich is this guy, Ed?
I'm going to say Galecki is worth $80 million.
Pretty close. According to Celebrity Net Worth, Johnny Galecki's net worth is estimated to be $100 million.
Jeez Louise.
John Mark Galecki, famously known as Johnny Galecki, was born. He's older than me. April 30th, 1975.
Jeez.
$100 million.
And like, I do know what he looks like, but I also wouldn't recognize him on the street.
Short guy, curly hair. I would fucking retire. You would never hear from me again.
That's my thing with a lot of these where like, if you have the one big hit, I get if you're an actor and you want to do like there are actors that have Malkovich. He'll do Con Air so he can do 20 movies that nobody watches.
Yep.
And like I could get
one,
that kind of
one
career.
For you, two for me.
But he probably got good money from Roseanne. Not like massive money.
Yeah. No.
Then he does this Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang.
He's got all the money now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's got all the money, but he's facing off against a tough number 11 seed. 5-3. Joe Pesci.
The best.
Yeah.
This is a bloodbath, this matchup. Mean,
you can't defeat Joe Pesci there. Pesci moves on.
Only thing he did was Raging Bull.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be enough.
Like that'd be enough. And then that wasn't even his best role. Then he does Goodfellas. Or fucking Tommy. Home Alone. Yeah. As a like a villain in a kid's movie.
Yeah.
He's great.
No, he's great.
And then of course Casino.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yep.
Joe Pesci.
He's great. 3-14. Billy Joel, 5-5 versus Elijah Wood, the little munchkin from the Lord of the Rings, 5-6. Yeah. Elijah Wood, look, I'm on record. Billy Joel's music fucking sucks. Now his early shit's okay, but once you get into the 80s, fuck no. Shit? Oh my God, horrendous. That said, Elijah Wood is one of those born on third base, thought he hit a triple guys. Like, he got cast in a thing because he's tiny.
Right.
And he's takes
a little odd looking.
Yeah, takes himself very seriously. Seems to. I'm a Billy Joel guy here.
So Billy Joel's hit list. I gotta respect a lot. It.
Yeah.
I gotta respect his. I'm talking about women, not the songs.
Oh yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
A horrible song, Uptown Girl, but he wrote a song about Elle Macpherson and then was dating Christy Brinkley after that.
Unbelievable.
Like he,
and he's fine.
He nailed two of the biggest deals to me in my childhood.
Yeah.
Two of the unquestioned top five women of my childhood.
I agree.
Yep. He nailed two of them.
And he looks like a bloodhound. We got to assume he's got a fat fucking dick, right? Like it's the only thing we can assume. Billy Joel has to have a fat dick.
Yeah.
Okay. He moves on. 7. Dustin Hoffman, 5-5. This is a tough one, Ed.
It is. There's some
versus Martin Sheen. 5-6.
Okay. I have a reason why one of them is disqualified.
Okay.
I heard lots of good things about The West Wing, and then I tried to watch it once.
Well, it's Aaron Sorkin.
And then only lasted like 10 minutes. And then I tried to revisit it in the days of like streaming.
Yeah.
And I lasted like 4 minutes.
Let me guess. Was there a white man giving a very long monologue about something that made him very heroic?
Just too much talking. Yes. Very Sorkin cocaine dialogue.
Horrible.
And so Martin Sheen, I love Apocalypse Now, and he seems like a cool guy in that. Yeah.
He had a heart attack. This is the end.
Yeah. I love Hearts of Darkness.
Yes.
And like, obviously he's had a good career and he's an activist. He has gotten arrested for good causes.
Gave us Charlie and Emilio.
But I hate that show with a passion.
Yeah. West Wing. I've never seen it.
I'd be shocked if you lasted 4 minutes the way I did. It's horrible.
I watched
lots of talking.
I watched Rain Man a long time ago. I'm not sure you could make that movie today, but Dustin Hoffman is pretty good.
Oh, Marathon Man.
Yeah. What's the one where he's with John Voight and he's
Midnight Cowboy. I'm walking here.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really good fucking actor. We'll give it. Dustin Hoffman moves on. Okay, Floyd Mayweather, 5-8. Versus Emilio Estevez, 5-4.
Kirby from St. Elmo's Fire.
Yep. No, he's, also he's there. He's the wrestler in Breakfast Club. Look.
Men at Work. Floyd, his brother.
Yes. No, he's fantastic. The Mighty Ducks. Floyd Mayweather is a piece of shit.
Piece of shit. Also, boring fights.
Boring fighter. Defensive fighter.
He was a technically great fighter.
Yes.
I was very bored by his demolition of many people.
Yes. Floyd, I'll take the decision, Mayweather. No. Emilio Estevez defeats Floyd Mayweather. Okay, the other side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise with a with an exaggerated 5'7" versus
5'7".
This is the easiest one. 16. I'm disgusted that this person.
This is a true. Patton Oswalt doesn't make it, but this guy does.
Versus Ken Jeong, 5'5".
I'd rather Kim Jong Un.
Totally agree with you. Tom Cruise moves on. Mark Anthony. Higher seeded. Oh, Ed's going to be pissed. Mark Anthony.
I'm furious about this.
5'5 versus Michael J. Fox. 5'4. I think everyone knows, especially Ed Daly, that Michael J. Fox moves on from that.
One of the great delights of our lifetime.
Yes. Daniel Radcliffe, 5'4 versus Jack Black, 5'6. That's the 5'12. Jack Black is the 12 seed?
Jack Black is not a 12 seed in any.
Unbelievable. That's your 12-5 upset.
This is much like the Hobbit guy. Daniel Radcliffe just got put in a role of a lifetime. Ooh. Jack Black, the creator.
This one right here is a hope the Tomahawk missile hits the arena. Bruno Mars 5'4 versus Nathan Lane 5'4. Both very in your face.
It's a lot. I'm gonna give it to Nathan Lane because The Birdcage is a pretty good movie with Gene Hackman.
I agree. He's done some stuff. He's a lot, but he's done some stuff. Martin Lawrence 5'7. This is a tough one versus Jason Alexander 5'4. Jason Alexander was George. But Martin Lawrence's fucking stand-up, his Night at the Apollo shit, he was a fucking monster back in the day. I got to lean George, but this is a tough. This is a last second shot for me.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's very close.
Yeah,
because Martin Lawrence definitely is a funnier person on his own.
Yeah,
but George Costanza is
iconic.
What a character. One of the great sitcom characters of all time.
What a character. 314. This is another easy one. Ben Stiller, the great Ben Stiller, who is 5'6", versus Aziz Ansari, also 5'6". There's no question here. This is a huge win for Ben Stiller, correct?
Yeah, it's a blowout.
Okay. Danny DeVito, 4'10". Okay.
that could be true.
Yes, the 7 seed. Danny DeVito's a 7 seed in the short man tournament? Who did the seeding, Jeff?
I have a feeling Cinderella's going to make a run.
Yes,
here.
Versus Billy Crystal, 5'6". Danny DeVito moves on easily. Yeah. And then finally, Kevin Hart, 5'4". The 2 seed versus Muggsy Bogues, 5'3", the 15 seed. I'll just say this. Kevin Hart, I seems like a great guy. I've never seen him do anything funny. Muggsy Bogues.
I'm astounded that he was like in the NBA for like 10 years.
And he would D guys up. He was 5'3", and you had to work to move the ball against him because he was such a good defender. I like Muggsy Bogues there.
Agreed.
Okay. So, second round, Lionel Messi versus David Spade. That's David Spade. Am I correct?
Spade.
Pacino versus Woody Allen. I like Pacino. You probably like Woody Allen.
I like Woody Allen.
I'll give you Woody Allen. Joe Pesci versus Billy Joel. That's Joe Pesci.
Pesci.
Dustin Hoffman versus Emilio Estevez. Dustin Hoffman.
Hoffman.
Tom Cruise versus Michael J. Fox. Oh!
Fox!
Come on!
We're talking about Marty McFly and Alex P. Keaton.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Cruise is so positive, but he's a Scientologist. Okay. We got Michael J. Fox moving on. Jack Black versus Nathan Lane. I think we like Jack Black there.
12 seed. It's great.
Oh, my God. Jason Alexander versus Ben Stiller. I think we go Ben Stiller. Yeah.
Ben Stiller.
Danny DeVito versus Muggsy Bogues. Sorry, Muggsy Bogues. It's Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito, for sure.
David Spade versus Woody Allen. Oh, come on, Ed. David Spade.
I love Spade.
Yes.
And I'll concede to you, but yes. I would take personally Woody Allen. But okay. Spade is a worthy success.
For sure. Spade moves on.
What's the other one? Joe Pesci versus Dustin Hoffman. Joe Pesci.
I'm taking Pesci.
Yeah, of course. What else?
Michael J. Fox
versus Jack Black. Yeah, he's got more of a body of work, I'll agree. Michael J. Fox. Ben Stiller versus
DeVito.
I gotta go DeVito. So is that our final? Are we to eight or four? I don't know. We got David Spade. This is the final four. David Spade versus Joe Pesci. I think Pesci's got to move on.
That's close.
It's close.
I'm gonna say Pesci.
I could go either way.
I could go either way too.
Yeah.
Fog. I'll take Pesci.
Okay, Pesci. And then on the other, so he's in the final
Fox versus DeVito.
I'm taking DeVito here.
I love Michael J. Fox, but DeVito.
And in the final, I like DeVito over Pesci.
DeVito is the champion.
DeVito is unbelievable.
When this tournament, it was a fun tournament,
The
tournament started, I knew DeVito was winning.
I would fight forever for that one. I agree with you. Jeff in Minnesota. Fantastic production. Thank you very much for submitting that. That was very fun. Props to Danny DeVito and fuck Wisconsin. And let's talk some not sports.
Well, it's time for not sports. Not sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Not sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Not sports segment.
Okay, Ed, what's happening in the world of things that are not sports?
First up, we lost Al Brown, a.k.a. Stan Valchek from The Wire, 83 years old.
Presbuluski's father-in-law really took care of him.
Yeah, he got him a spot after the shooting incident in season one.
And then he took that kid's eye out.
Yep. He was a good cantankerous.
He's great.
He's great. Definitely smoked a lot of heaters.
So he
seemed 83 20 years ago.
And so many of those guys that played like the upper echelon cops on The Wire, I just assumed they were real cops.
I did too. I thought this guy for sure was a cop.
Yeah, same.
R.I.P. Gina Lollobrigida, Italian film actress and sex symbol. She was 95. I remember Fred Flintstone singing about her. Lots of teenage boys in the 50s masturbated.
She was still alive?
95 years old.
Wow. 95. Yeah, her. Who's the
Marilyn Monroe and her were like the jerk off queens of the 50s.
This is like everybody in World War II would have like a picture of her on their helmet. And then they would be, and then later they'd be working their helmet. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is a beautiful woman.
She was like truly like, and also you think of it like these days, there are so many sex symbols because there's just more stars.
Yeah.
She was like one of two or three back then.
Yes. Very voluptuous. Now I see her here with Cary Grant. Do we think Cary Grant got that? But then she wasn't really his type, right?
No, she was. He liked LSD and penis.
Yes,
so I don't think so. He was a handsome motherfucker.
Yeah, but the man's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gina Lollobrigida. R.I.P. Yeah. Who knew?
R.I.P. to a legend.
Yes.
Totally. R.I.P. Brian Trufano, the train spotting cinematographer, 83. I like the look of that movie.
Oh, it's great.
I thought that's one of those underrated, you know, the cinematographer of a cool looking movie. Yeah. You got to give him credit.
No, that's one of those movies that you would never, if it were on, you would always stop and watch it. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Talking loud, comers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBL.
MLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless.